It's just an honor to be here with you this morning. And my wife Ginger here. We've been together now for, been ministering the gospel together now for going on 40 years together. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. So we started when we were two. Praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. No, eternity. We live in eternity. We don't live in time, right? Time is something man has, but it's the most important part of your eternity. It's what you do with time. You know, Pastor John, you know, like you said, we met through a mutual friend, Abner, you know, and Ginger and I actually have been, we were in the church for 20 plus years, and we did everything you could do in the church. I started in the parking lot to the coffee pot, and, you know, it said, Ginger liked the nursery, but I didn't like the nursery because I'm more like God. I changed not. So praise the Lord. So anyway, but no, we were with the youth, the children's church. We were armor bearers, ushers. We did it all, you know. And then the Lord called us out, and actually, I guess if you want to, you know, label it. I don't really like labels, you know, because we're the body of Christ, you know. And I don't like labels. I don't like religious terms or anything like that. You know, who we're from or where we're from. You know, somebody asked, you know, what denomination are you? I said, I just been nominated. I've been nominated by him, from him. And, you know, and it's about Christ. It's about Jesus, you know, that he, there is no religion there. It's about relationship. And, you know, but Pastor John, you know, something that I listen, you know, we need to listen. Faith comes by and hearing by the, amen. And so it's always listening and listening to people. And if you listen, you actually not only hear what people are and locate where people are, but you locate what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's just by listening. You know, so listening is where it comes. It's only one way that it comes. It's not the only way. But anyway, something that he said that just rang in my spirit is about, it's about a relationship. You know, we want to know, we want to get to know you, Bill. And I know none of you probably, you may have seen me come here before. I've been here three or four times. But we never talked, you know, much or got to know each other. But I don't want you to know me. I don't want you to know the heart that God put on the inside of me. And then when we know each other, it's always God's heart that he's put on each and every part. And sometimes we think we're not significant. We don't know what we're called to do. You know, I don't know. I need to quit what I'm doing so I can get into ministry. I'm going to tell you today, your life is your ministry. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And I think I heard you sing it from up here. You know, wherever you are, every single day of your life is your ministry. And I said, I don't need a pulpit. All I need is a person. And you just share the good news with people every day. You share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people along the way. And I'll share some things with you, but it's kind of like, I'm going to tell you where we've been and some things the Lord has done. And then I believe I'll tell you where I believe that we are, you know, today. Because a lot of people's looking for things to come. And when God has already come, he's already done. He's already established everything for us. And, you know, even the word revival, you know, it was one thing to know about God and learn about God. But when you go into the world, like he said, I'll make you fishers of men. And that's when you learn the ways of God. That's when you experience him. Like there's so many things that the religious world told me I couldn't do that he showed me he could do. And you know, even I heard Pastor John here saying the breakthrough. Brother was speaking about the breakthrough. You know, it's so true. You know, lowering yourself to go to the high places for him. It's always coming and humbling ourselves. And when we met, you know, we got serious. And Ginger said, well, you know, I want to marry a man that's going to serve the Lord. And I really wasn't serving the Lord. You know, I was serving myself. I loved the Lord. I knew the Lord. I got saved when I was 10 years old. But I wasn't following him. You know, he didn't say just be a Christian. He said, come and follow me. She said, I want to marry a man who's saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and following him. And so, you know, I was saved, but I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. So she sent me to a church. she sent me to a church. And I went to that church. And, you know, I was the back row guy, you know, because I could get out really quick, you know. And I was going because of her. And I went and I listened. But this is where God knows what we all need. And words are so important. And I'll say this, they're the most important thing that we have. And it's the number one mode of operation is God is your words. Because every time God spoke, life came. Something was created. And so it should be the same way with us. But because of my experiences in the church and different things, you know, with I'd seen Pentecostals, you know, and I seen some of them, the way they acted, and it just really wasn't nice. It wasn't pleasant, you know, and I seen different churches. I mean, we've been to all kinds of churches, you know, and been there and say, we are the church. That's who we are. And we need to learn how to grow together and be together and stay together. The most corporate, the most powerful anointing on the earth today is the corporate anointing. And it's the body of believers. But anyway, the pastor that night, he said, he had an altar call. He said, is anybody here want more love? And that's why I came, because I loved her and I wanted her. He said, does anybody here want more love? If he had said, does anybody here want to get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? I would have been out the door. So right then he knew exactly what I needed, and I needed more love. And actually, we're actually getting ready to walk in a higher level of love that God has put in us for us to reach the world. That's why he loved us so much, is so we could reach the unloving and the unloving around the world. And so anyway, I went up just for some more love. And I got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit came on me. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit right then. And I started speaking in an unknown tongue that I never talked in. And it's just been forward ever since, you know. I mean, you know, there's been a few setbacks, a few things, because there's world and there's people in the world. And I say, if you got people, you got problems. But if you got, that's why we got ministry, because we have people and we take care of problems. Amen. Amen. So anyway, for years, and then we met and listened to Dr. Jerry Savelle for years, you know, been in the ministry. Oh, what, 54 years now? And yeah, and amazing man of God. And I remember one time in our early days, she took me to at a convention center and there and with Brother Copeland and Dr. Savelle. Well, where I was in that time with my walk with the Lord, I was just walking with her, you know, right that time. And Brother Copeland, he was a little strong for me, you know, at that time. I'll just be honest with you. You know, it's like, oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. I was still on the back row. You know, I wasn't at the level in my life where I could handle it. You know, and a lot of us aren't at that level now, because he's at another whole level now. I mean, this man's believing to live for 120 years old. So, you know, the people that's coming before us, I mean, don't think about old school. Don't think about new school. Just think about we're always in school. Amen. Always. Always. So anyway, I heard Dr. Savelle then, and this is the early days. This is in the early 80s. And I thought, you know, I listened to he related. He related to my life, you know, the different his life. You know, he just grew up in the country, you know, and he's a paint body man, like hot rods, like motorcycles. I said, all right, man, here's a preacher I like, you know, but his stories, you know, I thought, you know, and I didn't know, but this is how powerful our words are. I said, you know, I could serve somebody like that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and that went into my heart. But anyway, we went back to that scripture that the Lord told me to get when we met was, so I went in the Bible. I just, okay, let me find one. I didn't know much about it. You know, I'd heard a lot about it. I'd never read the Bible through or nothing like that. And wasn't memorizing scriptures, but the Holy Spirit took me to a scripture. And it was 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries upon him, for he cares for you. And, you know, what I didn't know is that we based our marriage on this scripture. Amen. And later on in life, that, you know, hadn't met Dr. Savelle then, hadn't done none of this stuff. Later on in life, on a hill in Sturgis, South Dakota, 13 years ago, the Lord spoke to me about the hand of God. Wow. And the hand of God, I mean, there was five of us in a prayer. Can I walk around? Yeah. We set up our little tent in Sturgis, and Sturgis is the biggest bike rally in the world. That's right. And so we just got back from there, matter of fact. Wow. But But at that time, there was I said, let's pray, and we're going to get on our bikes and ride. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, the hand of God. And I told the people that was with us, me, Ginger, Brother Mike, he was from Hawaii. He came over, Brother David from Kansas, and Daniel Duff from Wyoming. And I said, he said, the hand of God. So what happened right then was we looked at it, and it wasn't like Bill flipped out and got this word. And I got a word that said, the hand of God. And we said, well, let's agree. Let's agree. So we all grabbed hands and we prayed and we agreed. And the Lord said, you just do what you want to do with the hand of God. And that was all we knew to do. And so I just got on my bike and rode. I was riding down the road. And I said, Lord, what about the hand of God? And the next thing he said to me, now listen, I just want you to understand, you know, condition of your heart's how you receive today. So don't take anything I say wrong. No, it's not a religious thing. You know, it's about relationship. It's not about, I don't want this to be, it's not a method. My method is the Word of God. And my method is the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Ghost. And with those two, then you have the power of God. That's my method. And that's my message. But the hand of God. Then I started, you know, and I said, what about the hand of God? And here's the next thing he said. He said, when you stretch forth your hand and you give them your hand and they give you their hand, I'll put my hand upon them. Yes. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into teaching on the hand of God today. Yes. I'm just giving you a story today. But I just want to, I didn't know this till just a few years ago. I mean, this is 12, 13 years ago when he told me about the hand of God. I didn't ask him for his hand, did I? He gave it to me. So in the natural, things in the natural become supernatural.
That's right.
So he received me when he gave me his hand. He received me. So there's just a little nugget right there. It's just a good little nugget right there. But that's how it all started. And I didn't know anything. That was all I knew. That was all he said do. If you do the one thing he tells you to do, he's not going to give you a whole lot ahead of time. He's going to give you one little thing at a time. And if you don't do that, he'll probably be a while before he gives you something else. But he gave us that. And what happened was, is we were believing for double. This is why I can prove to you that this anointing that God has put on this ministry, but not just this ministry, but the ministry on the body of Christ is the last day's anointing.
Amen.
It's a double anointing. It's a double portion. It's a double. Now, how do you know that, Bill? Because it's always the fruit that come forth from what God tells you what happens. That's what God's doing. You know, so God tells you to do something, you do it. And then when you do it, he tells you, he shows you something or what he's doing. And then, you know, you don't try to figure it out or label it. You just take that and this is what God's doing. This is what he said. And this is why he can tell you this is where you are now. So at that time, I'm going to back up and I'm going to come up. Okay. So, and then we're going to go out. But anyway, so at that time, when Ginger and I started going, when he called us, we joined Chariots of Light. Well, I was going through a hard time in my life. It was my dad had passed away. He had passed away and he was my best buddy, best friend. And I mean, my heart was broken, you know, and I just crying out to God. And one day, you know, just, I mean, we had two businesses. We went to church. We worked all the time. We loved God, but it was just busy. And I was crying out because my dad was gone. And the Lord spoke to me. I was riding in my truck. You know, he said, your dad's with me now. He said, now I want that relationship that you had with him. I said, oh, okay, all right. And that was easy. We talked every day. We spent time with each other every day. My dad, you know, he wasn't a preacher, but he was one of the greatest preachers, man. When he died, there were people lined up miles down the road that came through. And they said at that time, it's the most people that ever came to that funeral home. They had to turn people away. And I didn't know I could get up there and do it. I mean, my heart was broken. My dad passed away. But everybody, they come up and say, I just want you to know, you don't know me. He said, but when nobody else would help me, your dad did. He would help me. He never turned. He never turned his back. And I thought, hey, he was more like God than most people I ever knew. And so I started digging in, getting in the Word of God and praying. And, you know, we started doing it together. And then the Lord spoke to me about getting a motorcycle. I'm just saying. Motorcycle. Yeah. Motorcycle.
I'll take that.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Got to be in agreement. Got to be in agreement. It's anointing. God's not going to give you something to kill you.
No, that's fine.
But what I found out was I needed that relationship back into my life. You know, I needed and have that freedom again. You can't give something to somebody. If you're all bound up and wound up, how are you going to set somebody free? So, I went to church and some of the guys had a vest on. And this is in 2001. And we joined, seen the guys with the Chariots of Light vest on. They said, what's this? What's it? This is Jerry Savelle. He started this group called Chariots of Light. And it was really about fellowship at that time. It was all about fellowship. But I always say, if you don't have that fellowship and a relationship, you'll never be able to get people in the ship. Amen. So anyway, it was all about that. And so we started getting together and riding and just having a wonderful time. And I never, ever, 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 it wasn't Bill. I never led anybody to Christ outside the four walls of the church. I mean, we did in the children's church. You know, that was easy. But outside, we never did. But then I just knew. We went to Myrtle Beach to the bike rally, and I knew that we were actually going to the hotel. I'm telling you, your life is a story.
Amen.
I've got so many stories. We'll be here till next week. Every day is a story.
Amen.
I call them glory stories. But this one person, I told Jennifer, I said, we were at Hampton Inn at the end of North Myrtle Beach at Bike Week, and I said, this young man, I don't know. I've got to go back and talk to him. I don't know why. We had our vest on, looked good, you know, Christian, bikers, you know, and I went back and talked, you know, and I said, you going up? I don't know. I just got to go talk to him. And remember, I never led anybody to Christ, but I just felt led by the Holy Spirit. He arrested me. I said, he's the only one that'll arrest you to set you free. And so I went back and started talking to the young man, and, you know, he worked there and he's waiting on a ride. And so next thing you know, I was asking, I just, conversation, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? You know, tell me about yourself. You know, just being friendly and smiling, you know, being friendly, being in general conversation. And then he said, well, what do you do? And I said, we're Christian bikers, man. See? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, we just love the Lord. We're having a good time. You know, if you love the Lord, you got to have a good time.
That's right.
If you're not having a good time, you're probably not loving the Lord. Or you're not loving the people that the Lord put in your life. Ooh. Anyway, prison, move on. So anyway, so I said, do you know the Lord? And he said, no. Man, they done put me on the spot. I'm a Christian biker. Got it on my vest. Chariots of Light. Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a dark world where you shine as bright stars and beacons to the world. That's all of us. I said, you don't have to have your vest on, but you always have to have your best on. And that's him. He's on you. He's in you. He resides in you. So anyway, I didn't know what to do, man. I had no, I never done this before in the world. But he said, I'll make you. And I didn't even know it then. And I said, well, I got to do something. This guy doesn't know the Lord. And I said, you don't. I said, well, I want, you know, just then I said, can you hold this for him? And I said, would you give me your hands? I said, just give me your hands. And I didn't even know it then. I just said, give me your hands. And we held hands like this. And man, I started shaking. And I said, it wasn't the Holy Ghost either. It was me. And I was so nervous. And I didn't know what to say. But we got through it. I got through it. And when we got through that prayer and he asked Jesus to come into his heart, I felt like I got saved.
Wow.
I did. And I said, let's do it again. And we did. And I got better at it the second time. And I said, he was double saved right then. Praise the Lord. But on our way back, I said, we weren't true bikers. We took our I said, one guy had a patch. He said, I rode my bike to trailer week. So we trailered our bikes down, and we were riding back, and the Holy Spirit just invaded our car. It wasn't on fire, but it was like a thickness of smoke in our car. And I just started weeping and crying. I said, Ginger, I said, I've never experienced anything. I said, there's no high like the Most High. I've never experienced anything like this in my life, leading somebody to Christ like that. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful? Words, powerful, powerful, powerful. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go around the world and tell people about Jesus and get them saved? And since that time, we'll go back to Sturgis in a minute. But since that time, and I remember, Pastor, when we went and nobody got prayed for, but it was just me and her out there. There were times, just me and her. We had a little tent set up like vendors there. There was people. We finally got a couple to go with us. And they would stand there and wait. And I said, we got to go to the bathroom. You know, would you? And they would wait. And we come back and said, well, somebody come by and wanted prayer. We told them you'd be right back. You know, and that's the way we prayed for anybody and everybody. We was praying for them at the bathroom. But there's one time, I mean, and I didn't know. We just went. We just said, go. And he started teaching us and showing us. And we did everything we knew to do. And then we started surrendering more to him. And he started showing us what to do. And how to do it. And we're still learning. And he's got us at a, we just got back. And I'm going to tell you, we're in a whole nother atmosphere and level in the anointing, since we got, I mean, just going there. I mean, since we got back, I mean, I can't subscribe it to you what God had done for us while we were there. I mean, the Holy Ghost, he arrested us. I mean, there was all kind of things that happened. I'll get to it maybe, or I might not. You might have to make us come back. But anyway, praise the Lord. No, it's not about that for me, really. It's just, yeah, praise the Lord. As we started going with chariots, then, actually, I started writing a thing about chariots and things we were doing and sending it in to Dr. Savelle because we were Chariots of Light. We had our group and everything. And so we just started. And then next thing I know, I felt called to do this. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't one to put myself in a position. I said, God, you make it happen. Amen. You make it happen. If it's going to, if this is what you've called us to do, then you make it happen. And so we went and I think he put us in our heart. We joined in 2001. I actually knew it in 2002. The opportunity came available in 2003 and 2004, but it didn't really come into happen until 2006. And that's when we became the directors of Chariots of Light, and we worked for Jerry Savelle Ministries, and we've been all around the world now. Not all around the world. We're going. But we've been in every state. We've ministered the gospel in every state in the United States. We've ministered the gospel. We've been two or three times to Australia. We've been to South Africa. You know, and this is because of the connection, the family connections, you know, through Dr. Savelle. Where he goes, we go, you know, and establishing this. And so we went, that one person changed my life. And now, because of what happened in 2012, I call it the multiplication. Because we were believing God for double, and a double anointing. How many of you would like to have a double anointing? Well, if I tell you, you already have it.
Amen.
You know, we've all been anointed. We've all been anointed. But a double anointing. Why do I need double? Well, one's for you. And the body. And the other one's for the world. So you take this anointing to the world, wherever you go, every day of your life. Now, the administration of the gifting that God placed on in us is called the corporate anointing.
Amen.
It's called everyone. It's not one man having a platform.
Amen.
It's everyone has a platform. And it's time that God use every platform, wherever you are, every day of your life. If you don't like it, then start loving it. If you don't like your job, start loving your job. How do you love your job? You love the people in your job.
Amen.
You love the people there. You love the people. You're there to change them. If you're changed, if you're transformed, then your job is to change and transform people. Amen. So that year in 2011, I believe it was, or 10, we were 11. We were in Daytona Beach at the bike rally. And it was right after the bike rally is during right after the Daytona 500. And I said, you know what? We're gonna have our own Daytona 500. And I said, but ours are gonna be people. And I remember when there was nobody. Okay, I remember when one year a lady sent me an email, Bill, we led 142 people to Christ this year. Praise God. I remember when there was nobody been one to Christ. And then that year I thought, you know, we want more. So I remember. So we got to 242 people. And I said, Lord, we're just going to believe for double in Daytona this year. So we go to Daytona, and that's the same year that we go to Sturgis the first time. And so that Daytona, which is in March. And so we're there, and we're doing what the Lord told us to do, but we're doing still a lot of what we do. Do you hear what I said? Everybody that got everything God's involved with in your life, you're involved in. You're a part of it. So you're going to do things that you want to do. You're going to lead him. But that don't work. You finally had to surrender and let him lead you in these things. And this is where the double will start coming in your life and on your life. So we were believing God. Oh, I said, we set a goal. Well, is it about numbers, Bill? It must be. Because you're his number one.
Amen.
Everybody is his number one. He loves everyone. And he wants everyone saved. He wants everyone healed. He wants everyone filled. So it must be important to him. It's not a prideful thing that we want more than anybody, or we just want more for the kingdom. You know, that's the kingdom currency is people. So we led that at Daytona. We led 552 people to the Lord. That was double. Now I didn't know what God was doing. Brother Keith Moore, I was with him one time, and he said, I was telling him about what God was doing and winning these people Christ. He said, well, Bill, if you ever heard Brother Moore, that's how he talked. Well, Bill, he said, you know, a lot of times we don't know what God's doing until after we've already walked through it and seen what he's done. But he's got to have somebody that'll go. He's got to have somebody that'll walk. In other words, he's got to have somebody that'll talk so he can perform his word. I'll give you a little nugget right now, okay? You're not the performer. You're the presenter. You're the presenter. Now, who are you presenting? We got to present him. Not how we think he is. It's who he is. It's how he is. And this is how we learn his ways. Jesus said, I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. And we know these scriptures. But it's learning to get in him, that everything we do, everything we portray, even our looks, even our actions, you know, everything is like him. Our words become like him. Be like him. And that's when the power is manifest. So you're the presenter of his word.
Amen.
And his power, his anointing, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's not separate. He's one.
Amen.
He is the Spirit of Christ on the earth.
Amen.
He resides right here.
Amen.
On here. Right here. Wherever you go. And it's a tangible anointing that he's released today for his presence and power showing up like never before. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a little hit. I was going to say this later, but another thing that's been released like never before, grip my hand, is healing. He's released an anointing of healing, not just in every occasional, but I'm talking about on a regular basis. Now, you have to receive everything God releases. You have to know this. I know this. Now, I'll tell you why I know it in a minute, because he confirmed it. Now, if he's not confirming his word, you better listen to what you heard. But every time he tells me something, he confirms his word. And if he doesn't, then I go back and say, did I miss it? Was that me or was that you? But he's releasing his power for this hour that we're living in now like never before.
Amen.
And we've been looking for revival. And I can tell you for the last 20 years, we've been living revival.
Amen.
We've been living revival from that first person that came. And then the double came because, all right, so I'm going to back up. And then we'll go up. Praise the Lord. But right at Dayton, I'm weeping and I'm crying. And 552, God honored my request. He honored my prayer. Amen. Our team led 552 people to the Lord in 10 days. That was amazing. Amazing. And the pastor come up to that was helping out there. He said, Bill, he said, do you know who was there? Where you had your little tent at, right there on turn 4 of the Daytona Speedway on the outside. You know who had their tent there years ago? I said, no, who? Old Roberts had his big tent set up right there, Bill. And man, I just started weeping and crying some more. But see, it was the laborers that had came before us and the people that had worked before us. And this is where Jesus said in John 44, he said, why are you waiting 3 months? Why are you waiting 4 months for the harvest? It's always there. See, when you sow your seed, that's for your future. Or it's for somebody else's future. But every day is harvest day because of other seeds that have been sown along the way by other people. So every day is harvest. All year round. All year round. All year round. So anyway, when we went to Sturgis for that first time and stood up there about the hand of God. And so, again, we're just walking this out. We're just walking it out. And so we're believing God now. This is in March. We go to Sturgis in August. We were there the first 2 weeks of August. This was the first time. I said, okay, Lord. We're and that's when he spoke to us about the hand of God. We're believing for 1,000 people come to Christ. At the end of that route reach, we led 13. God always does more than you ask for. We led 1,331 people to the Lord. No, it's 1,131. 1,331 people. So and we just asked for 1,000. But there's a lot of ingredients, a lot of elements, and a lot of things that he did. But we never made a method. Amen. We just took his message. We took his presence. We took his power. And we're still learning. Now I'm going to tell you what's happened. That year, I said, I got to tell you where we were to tell you where we are. And then tell you where we're going. Amen. That year, we led 5,000 people to the Lord. Our next outreach, we led 3,300 people to the Lord. Now, you know, something's happening here. God's doing something here. God's doing something. So this is not just Bill and Ginger. This is God. I can tell you, there was a year, we'd go there and nobody gets saved. But we had a good time. But the best time is when people get saved, when they get healed and they get filled. And God takes you to a place that nobody, when you experience him like this, and this is everyday life for us. When you experience this in the parking lot, or at the grocery store, or at the gas station, or you go look at a car, and somebody, God just sits down on them, and just they just start weeping and crying. The Holy Ghost is there to change them, transform them. You're there for them. This is your life. Every day of your life, this is the important part of your life. This is what matters. And I believe time, see, it's not an essence to God. It's a bunch of an essence to us. And that's where I said earlier, it's the most important part of your eternity. I believe, like it says in the Word, that time, days of your life, is the talent that God gives you. What are you doing with this day? I mean, Lord Jesus, we just got home the other day. We just got home and nobody, I didn't go out anywhere. And a guy come down the road with his wife in the car. And he was going to do a Lord for us. And I hadn't prayed to anybody that day. Come down the road, pulling in the driveway. He said, I've got Maria. She has to go with me everywhere I go now. And said, she's got cancer. Said she's got cancer here. And there's nothing they can do for her. I said, well, Lord Jesus, man, what's something we can do?
Amen.
And man, we started praying for her. She started weeping and crying. And she and I, bless you, I said, you know, years ago, I probably shouldn't have forgot this, but we prayed for a lot of people. She said, Bill, I don't know if you remember. Years ago, I had cancer and said, you prayed for me. And they told me I only had 6 months to live then. She said, I'm still here. I said, well, what he did then, he'll do it again now.
Amen.
But the anointing failed to heal her now, right now, amen, to live a longer life. So, you know, you just take you seize those moments.
Amen.
That's a moment.
Amen.
Every day. I used to say, seize opportunities. You don't seize opportunities. Opportunities are always there. Look for opportunities. No, they're always there. They're always there. You have to take the moment with that person and share the love of God and let God perform His work. He can. He is sovereign. But His number one method is to use you.
Amen.
Because He lives in you. So, through this time, now I'm talking about the double anointing. And anointing is not just transferred like that. It's here for you to receive. But then anointing, it can either stop, it can stay, or it can grow. See, that's up to you. The anointing is always continuing to grow. Even Dr. Savelle, he said, this is the year of the maximum. The prophetic word he gave, the year of the maximum. The year of the maximum. I said, oh, Lord. The maximum, what is that? The maximum. What is the maximum? It's having Him maxed out in your life. There's nothing else left in your life but Him. And so I ask God a lot of questions. I don't question His word, but I do question Him. I said, Lord, what's next? He said, complete overflow. Because if you're up to the max, then it has to be out. It has to overflow. So what's the overflow for? To the world. To go into the world. Amen? So since that time, This is part of the video. Since that time, 12 years ago now, the double, over 500,000 people have come to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
500,000 people.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now, because of Abner and me, the relationship here and God putting us together, and I we're family. We're the family of God here.
Amen.
You know, right now. So you're... If you get a hold of this, then you're a part of this too.
Amen.
But again, it's not about just one of us. It's about every one of us, the anointing on us all. On the day of Pentecost, it came on them all.
Yes.
Well, why did Peter preach the message? Because he was the biggest doubter? No, because he became the biggest shouter.
Yes. 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 That's right.
So anyway, Lord Jesus. And what do you want now? I'm just asking you. What do you want? What do you want? God will give you everything you want. Some people's looking for their needs to be met, and they've already been met. God wants to take care of everything you want.
Amen.
Now, the other day, Ginger asked me this. You know, I call it, it's G. I call her G. And I said, I got H, G, and G. And because she's actually G-H, Ginger Horn. So I got the Holy Ghost and G-H, Ginger Horn. So I said, I got H, G, and G-H. She said, Bill, after all these years, she said, do you know what God's called you to do? I mean, come on. I mean, all these years, do you know what God's called you? I said, well, honey, I think so. I think so. I said, I think now the Lord's calling us back into church. And I didn't want to do this. I was okay out in the world. That's where I was seeing Him show up. But He said, no, it's time that you go back into the church because I have to have more harvesters for this harvest. It's the greatest harvest. And I got to have my harvesters. I got to have them doing this every day of their life. I've got to have them doing this because this time is short. So, anyway, praise the Lord. I'm like, I feel like we just got married and I'm in a shotgun wedding right now. It's just... But she said, do you know what God's called you to do? I said, well, I think so. I said, now, and I say this very humbly, 500,000 people come to the Lord. This is something that I would dream about.
Amen.
Being a part of something like this.
Being
a part of something like this. But we're not just believing for half, we're believing for millions and millions and millions and millions. And He told me, He said, even billions if you want it.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you today, what do you want? We can do this together.
Amen.
It's the body of Christ.
Amen.
He's the one, but we are the ones that are anointed. He's the anointed one, but we are the anointed ones. And no matter how insignificant you think you are, every little part, every big part has power.
Amen.
power. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. But she, I said, well, now, I said, I think so. And she said, no, that's not it. So I'm not called to do this. She said, no, that's not it. Does it? This is what we're all called to do, is what she said that I was called to do. She said, you're called to know him more. That's our number one calling. And the more we're wrapped in him, that we're in him and he's in us and he's in the Father, the more that comes, then all the other things will come. All the other callings, all the people. And I love what I said, every time you say a man of God said this, some other man of God probably said it, but God finally said it to somebody. But I believe it was, I don't know if it's Smith Wigglesworth or Reinhard Bunke, but he said, the church that doesn't seek the lost has lost itself. It's lost its foundation. It's lost what it was about. Everything God does, every revelation, every prophecy he gives to you is for the saving of someone else. Everything. Everything. And you can't change the world if the world is changing you. We have to be different. We have to be, if you're born again, if you've been a new creature, then you need to be a new creature. You need to be reconformed, reformed, and always reforming. And so, boy, there's just so much here. I just got a little bit of time, but I just got all eternity. I'll tell you this too, Pastor, if it's all right. It's time that you become more eternal-minded instead of time-minded.